Welcome back to the Silk and Purple Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Fuqua. I have a absolutely precious guest with me today, Sister Deb Cook. Welcome.
Thank you, Megan. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, ma'am. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I am Deb Cook, married to Brian Cook. We attend the Pentecostals of Alexandria, where I am on staff there as the administrative assistant to Bishop and Sister Mickey Mangan. We've been at POA for, I guess, 21 years now. So, mother to Tanner Cook and Cam and Chapel Cook. And then we have our bonus daughter, Bailey, which is a whole story in itself that I'm sure we'll get around to.
I gotcha. Yeah. I remember you telling that beautiful story. And doesn't God have a way of weaving everything together so perfectly?
He does.
In
he
the
does.
Story that we never would have imagined or written for ourselves.
Absolutely. He is always writing new chapters in our beautiful stories.
Amen. Well, I want you to just flow in the Holy Ghost and tell us about whatever God has laid on your heart. I know that, you know, any person that's been living for God for, you know, many, many years has multiple different testimonies. So I don't want you to necessarily feel like you have to stick to one certain thing, just wherever God has led you.
Absolutely. I would say that, and yes, you did say many, many years. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. So I've been doing this thing a long time, and God has just has orchestrated my path all along the way. And I would first start by saying I'm thankful for my parents, Lewis and Suzanne McGee. I grew up in the Leesville Church, and wonderful church and just a wonderful childhood. But I first learned of the supernatural from my parents, and they taught us the way. They showed us the way. I know some people have these, and on your podcast especially, there have been so many people that will say how their story is God delivered them from this and this and this. And doesn't he deliver us all from something? Amen. But I can say that God has kept me in this beautiful way and this beautiful truth because of what I learned from my parents. And I just remember supernatural things throughout my life. I have my oldest brother struggles with addiction. And I think I shared with you when we first met, there were times where he would be missing and we hadn't seen him in days. And my dad would say, God, show me where he is. My dad woke up in the middle of the night one night. God showed him where he was, laying behind a building, and my dad knew exactly where that was. And then another time he was in the prayer room at church and said, God, you know, I've got to know he's okay. Haven't seen him in however many days. And then a man comes, taps him on the shoulder in the prayer room and says, hey, you have a call in the office. And he goes, and it's my brother. So those kind of things throughout my life, just the supernatural. So I knew that I wanted to have a life like that. I wanted to have a supernatural life, and wanted, first of all, to make sure I married the right person. And that's where the story gets kind of funny and interesting, because here's this wonderful young man I met in high school. And no, we weren't high school sweethearts. That's what Brian always says. Like, it's not as easy as it sounds. But he always says that he knew when he met me, like, hey, I'm going to marry this girl. And that was not the story that was in my mind. But God has a sense of humor, and it was really a 7-year journey, to be honest. But I had on paper what I thought God's will for my life looked like, and Brian and I were from different denominations, so I never entertained that thought. You know, I always thought, I'm going to marry this preacher, I'm going to be in ministry, and even went off to Bible college and came right back home to Leesville, my hometown, and there he was, and he began to ask about this beautiful truth, became hungry for it. And I remember telling him, you know, even if you get the Holy Ghost and you decide to walk this way, that won't change anything between me and you, you know. And again, God has a sense of humor, because God knew, God had a plan. And he received the Holy Ghost in April of that year. We were engaged in June and married by November. So God had the last laugh
on that.
That's
right.
And I'm so thankful. But he's done so much. God has done so much for us. And you just stop me if I get to rambling. But
I'm here for it. From listening to you want to ramble.
From listening to your podcast, I know that you just like us to take off on our story. So I'll try to stick to that. We got married pretty young. We were young. We started our little family within a couple years, you know, because we really knew each other. We had been such close friends all our life. But just the ups and downs of that, I remember when I was home on, we'll call it maternity leave, but what it really was 6 weeks without pay because we were young and poor and, you know, thought we knew what we were doing. So we were just going to barely make it through those 6 weeks, but we were going to make it. And I remember the morning that Brian left for work and I'm laying there with my newborn. And within like an hour, he walks back in the door and I say, what are you doing? And he just, I remember he looked at me blankly and he said, I don't have a job. I said, what? Like, here we are. We're already poor. We're barely making it.
Right.
No, I lost my job today. And so it's a long story filled with God's providence, but you know, everyone knew it was a wrongful firing. I believe the employers even knew because they started scrambling, trying to help him find a job. And
oh my goodness.
It's the kind of thing where God just intervened. God opened a bigger door for him. But past that, there were other times. But we always, no matter what our financial situation was, we always paid our tithes first.
Yeah.
And God always made a way. We never went without. Even gave sacrificially to missions our whole life. And through every season, no matter, God just always gave us above and beyond. And there came another season where Brian, well, when he lost that job, he when he walked into the place that someone said, you need to go down here, this place is hiring. So he walked in and they literally looked at him and said, where have you been? Like, we have been interviewing for months and haven't found a likely candidate. This job is tailor-made for you.
Wow.
Well, that job was in finance, which is what he always wanted to do. And so, long story short, that's what landed us here in Alexandria, Louisiana, eventually. But it wasn't a straightforward shot, of course, as God's story never is. There came another time where that company that he was working for, they merged with a bigger company. And so they didn't want to be in Little Leesville, Louisiana. So they said, we're just going to shut down this office. So it's like, wait a minute, God, you gave me this job. You put me in this field.
Right.
Now what? And that's the point that I would want to make today is that your journey with God will not always be, it won't always be roses, but God uses the hills and the valleys to remake us, to have his perfect plan in our life, to form something in us. And I'm so thankful for those times, for every closed door, for every hurtful time, because it taught us the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And he has used those things for us to minister to other people who now we're having to face that we're those older people, you know. We're now able to minister to the next generation of, you know what, this may look hard now, but you're going to come through it, you know, because God has seen us through so many things. But when that company closed that office, everyone said, well, you know, there's another company over here. We think they're hiring. He's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go to work for another company. And they said, well, this one's pretty good. So he walks in, and I'll back up to say that a man of God had come through our church there in Leesville and had ministered to us in the gifts and said, looked at Brian and said, I see you receiving a large sum of money. So we're like, oh, yay, we're going to get this. Ooh, we're going to get this huge sum of money. This is amazing. Well, what we didn't realize and could never have known, that was the severance package that he was offered for losing his job. And it was a nice sum of money. And it did make it to where he didn't have to just scramble and just settle for anything. And he did try some other fields that he hated. But he at least had, you know, he had the opportunity to do that because we weren't just left high and dry.
Right.
But he walked into this other company and they said, okay, we would love, you know, to hire you. We want to send you to Manny. And my husband looks at them and says, no, I don't want to go to Manny. He said, if you'll consider DeRitter, I'll do it. And I'm like, who does that? Who has this great job offered to him and says, nah, I don't want to go there. But I guess it's like David, you know, when you wrestle with the lion and the bear, you're like, hey, God's with me. I'm going to be okay. So he sets out. They tell him, okay, you find the office, you find the place, and we'll consider it. So he goes to DeRidder, finds a building, and he starts that office from the ground up. And within a year, as only God can do, a position came open for a regional director. He went to them as a manager. A regional director position comes available in this company, and there were people way more qualified. They had been with the company 10 plus years. They had all these degrees behind their name. Brian has an associate degree from a business school that no longer exists today, by the way. It's just the things that God does, you know, the way God promotes you. But one by one, Brian's name just kept climbing up that list. And at the end of the day, they said, well, you know, and these other people were willing to move from all these other states to come take this job. But they said, you know, someone that knows Louisiana law better, finance law better than anyone is Brian Cook. And so after just a year of being with this company, he was promoted and we moved to this area. So God, all along the way, has just shown himself so faithful. And I want to tell our story about our Bailey girl. Along the way, we had an evangelist at our church that told us, well, and I told you this story when we met, but Brian had, on his lunch hour one day, we had an evangelist at our church, and he was on his lunch hour, and he saw the evangelist's wife walking near the church. She was, you know, it's kind of up a hill there, and so he stopped and said, hey, let me give you a ride, because it's just right up the way. So he takes her up the hill, drops her off at the church, and as she gets out of the car, she looks back at him and she says, I see you with a little girl. And he was like, okay. You know, we received that as the word of the Lord. We were excited because we wanted a daughter. We always wanted a daughter. And we even had our name picked out. We didn't tell anyone because, you know, you don't tell someone your name, they might steal it.
That's right.
So we didn't tell anyone. We had picked out our name. And that name was Bailey. We thought it was a unique name. Nobody else that we knew was named Bailey. We thought this is a great, unique name. We had our son Tanner at the time and always wanted another child. We had been trying for a while and it just wasn't happening. So life goes on. We move to this area. We end up having our son Cam and we're thrilled, but we knew like, okay, this isn't the end because we've been told we're going to have a daughter.
Right.
So 2 years later, we find out that my brother, who is an addict, and his wife were living in a car somewhere in Texas and found out that they're having a baby. My mom somehow knew. She goes there to the birth and they have a daughter and they name her Bailey. And I was mad, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm like, how fair is this? Like, they don't know what to do with the baby. They don't need a baby right now. Like, their life is upside down. And by golly, they stole our name.
Right.
Like, what in the world? So the rest of that story is such a beautiful story that only God could orchestrate. There were times we tried to get her. We had her when she was 18 months old. They came and said, look, if you don't give her back, we're going to come, you know, bash this door in, that kind of stuff, you know. And it's a complicated story when you're dealing with addiction.
Yeah.
The state, you know, onlookers will always tell you, well, hey, why doesn't your family just go in and get this baby?
Right.
You know, it's not quite that simple. We did try for many years. And through it all, God was in the middle of it always, as he always is. And I just want to encourage people that no matter what your situation looks like, maybe you do have a loved one that's you feel is in harm's way. You just have to give them to God and know that he protects them. So we got her again when she was 4 years old, kept her for a season. And honestly, our church had gone on a corporate fast in 2008. We did our first big corporate 21-day Daniel fast, and we were all in. The way you know a fast is working is by how grumpy you are, you know?
Yeah.
You ever been there?
You're starving your flesh?
Yes, you're starving your flesh. You're You even don't feel very spiritual, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
When your fast is working good, you don't feel spiritual.
You're like, I'm rotten. You are
fighting that flesh. I mean, we did without coffee, which if you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, coffee's a deal.
Are you sure Daniel wanted you to do that?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, coffee's a bean, right? Like, so we were trying to really, really suffer, and we were. But we were drinking our little hot tea, which I hated. But, you know, it was like.
It was something.
I got to have something hot. But I remember my main focus during that fast was for Bailey because I felt like, you know, she is in harm's way. And God, I need you to orchestrate this, you know. And I could take you to the place right now where I was standing in our prayer room at POA where God showed me these huge angel wings coming down over her eyes, her nose, her ears, her whole face, and covering her completely. And he said, am I not God enough to keep her in the middle of her circumstances?
Wow.
And so I knew, okay, she's going to be okay. And if I fast forward to quite a few years ago, standing in our kitchen, she told me one day, she told us as a family, she said, you know, I'm sure my childhood was awful, but she said, I have really good memories. And I just remember crying that day and saying, Bailey, that is what God showed me.
Yeah.
That is what God showed me in that season. But right after that, I had a dream where, and you know how dreams are strange.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know, sometimes you go, was that from God or not?
And then they're so strange you can't even tell anybody because you're like, no, they're going to make a phone call.
You're
and
like,
I'm going to go stay somewhere for a few days.
What did you eat before you went to bed that night? But I knew this one was from God because in the dream there were these, and you know, God will use different things to represent, like maybe it represents an establishment or whatever. But there were these men in suits with clipboards, and I guess that just meant official, you know?
Yeah.
And they had come up to me and said, we need you, you know, we are taking Bailey and, you know, do you want to take her basically or whatever? So I remember I was at POA in a funeral. And when I came out of that funeral, I had quite a few missed calls from my brother. So I called him back and he said, look, OCS is coming. And do you think you could take Bailey? I said, absolutely. I've already had a dream about it. God prepared me. So that was, you know, one of the seasons where we took her. It was after that fast. And so you think, okay, God showed me that in the fast. Now this dream came to pass like I thought it would. Okay, everything's great. We've got her. I put her in pre-K with us. And so we had her for about a year then. And she ended up going back to her parents because, you know, they can come in and drug test them, whatever. But the state is always going to try to reunify the children with the parents. Yeah. So again, it looked like a forgotten promise. She had to go back with her parents. And, you know, we just kept trusting God. Like, God, we don't understand, but you've told us you're going to keep her. And so we're going to trust in that.
Yeah.
And so she was actually 9 years old when by some miracle we were able to sit down with an attorney. They gave over their rights. And it was literally like they were in a trance. Like they just were so agreeable. After fighting us so many years, it's like they finally, I mean, and the attorney talked hard to him. He said, you realize this can't easily be undone. You will have to hire an attorney and sit here. And they just nodded yes. They said, you know, you're saying that Deb and Brian are to care for her. Like you're incapable of caring for her. They are going to make all decisions concerning her medical care, their, you know, school care, everything. And they just nodded yes. And so God did it. God did it in such a beautiful way. And my parents played a huge role. She did spend a few years with them after in the middle of all that and then came back to us through her teenage years. And it's just been a beautiful story. And she's a beautiful young lady living for God today and just mighty in his kingdom. But only God, only God could orchestrate it. There's so many miracles. I have to watch our time because I could talk all day of all the wonderful things God has done. So,
you know, that story of Bailey really reminds me reiterates to me what the Bible says about I knew who you were when I formed you in the womb. I mean, he gave you all the details about her before she was ever even born.
Her name.
So, yeah. I mean, and we can all relate to that story because we all have a purpose and a story and the will that God has willed for our life if we'll be in line with that.
Absolutely.
And I just think that's a beautiful thing to remember, not only about that story, but each of us.
It is. Absolutely. It's just knowing that God knows the end from the beginning. Yeah. And sometimes you may have a closed door in front of you, and sometimes it will be slammed, and you get so discouraged and think, well, my promise just got slammed shut or slammed to the ground. No, it's because God has a timing, and we only see where it affects us. But if you think of a tapestry, if you look on one side of it, it's not that pretty. You know, there's knots where you had to tie it off so that the other side could be beautiful. And sometimes you're just that, you're seeing the little space where those knots are being tied and where, you know, they're all scrambled together. But on the flip side of that is a beautiful picture that's being painted, and we don't always see the whole thing.
Right.
And I know I shared with you when we met, by the way, I really wasn't sure that we would make this podcast happen because of how our meeting happened. I knew that we were supposed to meet.
Yes.
And it was a ministry day between the two of us.
Yes.
And if that was all that it was a beautiful moment.
That's right.
It was a beautiful moment that will last forever.
Yes.
Well, forever. We are bound together by that first meeting because God, he orchestrates relationships in our life, and he did it that day.
Well, and that's what prompted, it's a couple episodes ago, but I really all day long, like the meeting was good and everything I needed to hear. But beyond that, just like this gift that God gave me that was like, here, this is just for you. Like, I'm sure you got some fringe benefits off of it, but you didn't get as much as I got because I was humbled and blown away and wrecked and shattered, and I felt great all at the same time.
As God does. And he works all things together for the good. And what we shared that day are things that can't necessarily be shared on the podcast, but God knows all things.
Right.
And I want to share a little of what brought us to that conversation, but we talked about how us even coming to POA was a season where we felt God calling us to more. And sometimes that's scary to step out to more. I think of Abraham. It says he left where he was comfortable. He went out not knowing where he went.
Yeah.
It's like kind of how the word says it in a roundabout way. And sometimes that's how it is. God will call you out to a deeper calling, to more sacrifice, to painful things. You'll have to go through some painful things to get there. And that's where we were. We knew God was calling us to a change. We didn't know where we were supposed to be. So we were floundering a bit. And I remember us saying, okay, well, this weekend we'll go to POA because where else are we going to go? You know, we'll just... So we did. We went to POA. We had just been through such a time of fasting and prayer. Like, God, where do you want us to go? I know what you've shown us. You know, he had spoken to me about power and authority with the angels of just being separated unto him. And we had actually come the Wednesday before, and that didn't go well in that when we got home, Tanner was 9. And he ran straight to his bed and put the covers over his head crying. And as a mom and dad, like that, we comforted him, but then we went in the other room and cried ourselves. Yes. You know, it was so painful. Like, what have we done? You know,
right.
We're leaving what's comfortable. But that Sunday, it was during Messiah season. And this is, we'll call this our Messiah story. So I'll start by saying that Brian and I's first date was in 1992 at Messiah. We, you know, my family loved Brian. They always would say, is this a date? And I would say, no, like, because we were such good friends. And the whole path to that was just me saying, okay, God, well, I don't know what you're doing, but I went on a 3-day fast and said, God, I need your will for my life. I'd been through, you know, a couple of heartbreaks, and always would tell my mom, I wish I could find someone that loved me the way Brian Cook loves me, you know? But we were denominally different, you know, and I didn't believe in being unequally yoked. And so anyway, yoked.
I got you, girl.
so we went... He had gotten the Holy Ghost in April, and it was Messiah season. So I remember telling my family, they were sitting at the table when he came to pick me up, and I said, okay, y'all, this is a date. Well, they just all cheered. They were so excited. But our first date was Messiah 1992. So fast forward. So when we came to POA, really visiting, it was Messiah season, and it was 2004, and it was actually the last Messiah. And well, we didn't know it at the time. They didn't know it either, but they would end up, that would be the last Messiah. They laid it to rest after that. So I'm in the prayer room there, and it's a mess because it's Messiah season, and it was the Sunday night service. Brian had stayed home with Tanner. He wasn't feeling good that night. So I had Cam in my lap. He was two, about to turn three, and I had been praying for a while there before service, and a man walked over to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Ma'am, I've never met you. I don't know you. You don't know me." He said, "But three times I felt the Lord prompting me to tell you three things." He said, "Number one, God has given you a power and authority with the angels. Number two, this is where you're supposed to be. And number three, God sees your son." So there it was. Like, there's all the things I needed to know. Mm-hmm. Validated what I felt God, you know how God will just give you like a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a code word.
Yes.
I told you I was going to give you power and authority with the angels. Now this man has walked up to you and said, "You want to have power and authority with the angels." And we were wondering where to go, you know, where do you want us, God? And here he says, "This is where you're supposed to be." And then he said, "God sees your son." Well, I remember thinking, okay, he thinks it's this boy in my lap because he don't know me. But I've got a little 9-year-old at home who's heartbroken. Yes. So it just comforted me. Okay, God, you see Tanner. He's going to be okay. And honestly, as you know, just like the word of God is so vast and complex, I believe when God gives you a word, it's so complex.
Yeah.
God, by him saying, "God sees your son," he had a promise for both of our boys. And, but all my life, I just clung to that. You know, God looks at the long game. That's the beautiful thing. God sees so far down the road, and we only see right now. But God sees such, he's painting a beautiful picture and a long story, you know?
Like you said earlier, he sees our end from our beginning. Yes. And we see our beginning and our right now. But he's looking at the very, very end of everything he has planned for
you. He's the author and the finisher.
That's right.
And the finisher. So, you know, we start rocking along with our life. Okay, this is where we're supposed to be. And oh, how many ways God confirmed it through the years. Just 5 years into that journey, God had spoken to me in prayer one day and said, "I'm doing a new thing. I've prepared you for transition. I'm doing a new thing. I've prepared you for transition." And I wrote it that way over and over in my journal. He said it like three times. Well, the next day, Bishop, who was pastor at the time, called our cell phone. We had never had a call from him. Like, what?
Scary.
Wanted to meet us after church. Like, what? Like, what is this? Didn't even know there were offices hidden away there at POA. We're not those people to go to the pastor's office and bother him. What? Where do we go? So we met with him and Sister Mickey that day. And I remember him saying, "We've watched your life for 5 years, and we would like to offer you something that we've not had. Like, we want you to come work for Sister Mickey, and for us, do our finances. You know, we've watched your life. You're trustworthy." You know, it was just that way that God stamped us. Because when we came there, God said, "You know, walk away from where you are and follow me, and don't defend yourself."
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing he told us in that season, was don't defend yourself. And when you're even called self-righteous sometimes by your actions, you want to say, "No, that's not how it is." Yeah, like,
you don't want to be misunderstood.
Right. You want to validate yourself, but we just had to let God do it. And it was hard. It was hard not to defend yourself, to leave everything that was familiar. So God just said, "I promised you, and you've been patient, and I'm doing a new thing." So that, even that was a miraculous story that we won't go into. The way God spoke it to Sister Mickey was just a beautiful thing that God ordained and orchestrated. But so I went to work for them in 2009. So we go on fast forward down the road. So, you know, our first date was Messiah 92. We came to POA, Messiah 04, which was the last Messiah. And through COVID and all the things, POA listened to the community, and the community wanted Messiah back. We tried other, we did Above All. We were going to do Jesus Messiah, but COVID canceled that. But the community just really wants the good old time Messiah. So we did. We brought Messiah back. And it was during the pre-production meeting of that first Messiah, I'm sitting over before every production. The whole crew, cast and crew, goes over to the FLC and we have a meeting and we talk through what we can change, what we can do better, and we have a little devotion and all the things. And I'm on the sidelines with the music team getting ready to sing for Messiah. And I was holding the playbill in my lap, and I happened to be sitting by Cam that day. And I looked down at the playbill and it said, Messiah Music, Cam Cook. And as if a light bulb came over my head, and just that deja vu moment where God says, boom, that feeling you get, he reminded me, he took me right back to the prayer room that day where that man spoke to me and said, and God sees your son.
Yeah.
So just the year before, our son and daughter-in-law, Cam and Chap, had been announced as the music pastor of POA. And it's like God was saying, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, mm-hmm. if you'll come here, this is where I want you to be. I have a plan that's bigger than you can see. And God's faithfulness, like there's just no way to tell. And are we these magnificent people who have our act together? No. But we have learned that just seeking the supernatural, seeking the face of God through all life's ups and downs, through every season, God's been faithful. And I just know that we can trust him no matter what. And God is building a long story. Trust God with the right now. And lately, there's been this thing that I've really have felt is that sometimes right where we are feels like, oh my God, I've been waiting so long.
Yeah.
But what even is waiting and looks like waiting to you is nothing more than you have to wait for this time to pass right here.
Yeah.
Because in God's timetable, he's looking, like if we imagine the palm of our hand as our entire life and God looking down, like you're right here and he sees right there. Just, yeah. It's already done.
Right.
You just haven't stepped into it yet. So why are you fretting? Like,
right.
It's already done. So whatever you're waiting for, rejoice right now.
Right.
Rejoice because it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's on like, its way.
But God wants to see what you're going to do with the time of waiting.
Yeah.
You know, will you be faithful?
Yeah.
Will you keep praying the prayers when you don't see anything happening?
Yeah.
Will you keep praising him when it looks like he has forsaken you and forgotten you? He hasn't, but I will be honest. There's a lot of times it feels like he has.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where he feels silent, but you keep listening.
Yeah.
Because he's going to speak. He's going to speak. And a lot of times it's us that can't hear, but it doesn't mean that he's not speaking.
Well, and something whenever we had first met that I hear you saying that is, it's so beautiful. And maybe you say it without saying it. I know a lot of times, we preach prayer and we hammer it home and we say, oh, you gotta pray, you gotta pray.
Yeah.
The way that you tell your story and your testimony is like, that was the only place that I could go and feel safe was this
yes.
place of prayer. And so it was never a means to an end. It was your lifeline.
Yes, absolutely. There is one more story that I would like to tell because it is a miracle. And I want to give God glory for yeah. all the things he's done in our life. And there's been so many. That's why I literally am within myself trying to think how long have we been speaking, because I could talk all day of the greatness of God. But I don't want to get away from here without telling this story, because I've told the miracle of Bailey and I've told the miracle of Cam, who when he was young, people use the word prodigy about Cam, but I can't tell the story of Cam without telling the story of Tanner.
Yeah.
Tanner wanted a baby brother so badly, you know, because we had planned to have our children close together.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tanner was 18 months old, we started trying. And if you're wondering their age difference, it's 6.5 years, okay? Things did not go the way yeah. we planned, but God always knows. So Tanner would get so frustrated and he would come home every day from school and say, it's not fair. I want a baby brother. So I'm like, I know, baby, well, you just got to tell God. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. So I remember his Sunday school teacher at the time who couldn't have children herself. So as you know, I mean, that would be a sore spot. That's such yeah. a sore spot for somebody. And I remember going to pick him up from Sunday school that Sunday And she said, wow, Tanner is just really this thing about a baby brother. I said, girl, I know it. I said, we know that song. Like, that's every day. So she leaned down on his level. He was like 5, about to turn 6 at the time. And she said, Tanner, or he must, yeah, he was around 6. She kneeled down and she said, Tanner, do you want a baby brother? And he said, yes. She said, do you believe God will give you a baby brother? He said, yes. She said, well, you're going to pray the prayer. And she got down on a level he could understand. They prayed a little prayer together. He asked God to give him a baby brother. And so I remember just a week or two later, I'm lining up to sing and I get this dizzy, whoo, had to sit down real quick. Like, wow, I don't feel my best. And of course, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Cam came along. But through Tanner's life, in his early teens, there came a season where just you could feel this darkness coming on him. We knew he was different. We knew he was struggling. We knew something had changed. And I used to always go by the church and pray every morning. And I remember God, I had Thursdays off at that time with a job I had. And I remember that day, God said, no, you're going to pray at home today. I said, okay, it was my day off. I began praying and God directed me to go pray in Tanner's room. So I began praying and just praying in the spirit. If you know what that is, the Bible says we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit prays through us and makes intercession. And so I was praying in the spirit where God's prayers were being prayed, what he wanted to be orchestrated. And he impressed me, like, open that drawer. And I opened that drawer, and there were just, Tanner's very artistic, and there were just some dark things there. He had drawn some pictures, and like, God, I don't understand what this means. And so I just began to pray. And he said, you know, now open this drawer. And I opened that drawer, and there was a little, you know, this will date the age, but there was a little, those little portable CD players, you know, that you can carry around with you. He put it in the drawer. He had been going to sleep with that, with his headphones. And so I take out the little CD that's in there and it said Nirvana. Well, I don't know what that is. You know, I'm over here in a bubble. I don't know what Nirvana is. I remember through my travail, crying and travailing, I'd get on the computer, look up Nirvana, and come to find out, you know, it's a band. The leader of that band had committed suicide. And it was just, I read some of the lyrics to some of those songs. I was like, well, no doubt my boy's in a dark place. So I began to pray against that spirit and just travail. In that day, I wouldn't be me today without that day.
Yeah.
From about, I would say, 8:30 or so when I got home from taking the kids to school until probably 2 o'clock when I had to go pick them up again, I did nothing but travail. I didn't think of hunger. I didn't think of time. I didn't even think, wow, my neighbors may be able to hear me. I screamed. I cried. I prayed. I, in between, would, you know, talk to Brian and say, oh my gosh, you know, this is what I found. And, you know, and I remember saying, God, I've got to talk to him. But Cam's going to be with us. You know, what will we do? Because Cam was just a little kid at the time. Right when I said that to God, I got a text from a friend who said, hey, I was thinking of getting Cam after school today. I said, well, you'll never know. God just used you. Yeah. I'll have to explain sometime. So just a cool thing, all the things God orchestrated. So long story short, I bring him home and I have this, I talk to him about the stuff. He's like, Mom, you don't know what it's like to be me. And I said, baby, what do you mean? Well, the enemy had convinced him that everything about him that was different from us, he's very artistic. Mm-hmm. He has so many giftings that we don't have. And he would say, you and Dad or this or that. I said, Tanner, you're the most important thing to us. And we'll give up every ministry we're in if that's what we need to do, because if we lose you, nothing else matters. Yeah. And so I prayed for him that day and I said, I'm going to pray for you. So I did. And we had a great time of prayer together. And I went back to work the next day. And I remember Brian was out of town that day. And so I called him and I said, baby, I don't feel like this is something we can sit on. Like, we need pastoral counsel. He said, I agree. He said, you go ahead and meet with someone. You know, it's okay. You can call me if you need to. So I hung up with him and what's ironic, because now I work at the church, I live at the church. So it's funny that I didn't know the number then. So I was looking up the number to the church when my cell phone rang and it was my mom. And she said, hey, have you called anyone yet? I said, no, I'm about to call the church now. She said, I feel for us to be still. She said, I want to meet you at your 1 o'clock prayer shift today. Because I got off early on Fridays. I had a 1 o'clock prayer shift. And she was in town because of ladies' conference out at the campground. So we met at church up in that little upper room and we began to travail. It was just an hour shift that was split with some other people. So, you know, we did 1 to 2, somebody else did 2 to 3. So we were there for that hour. And then we went our separate ways because I had to pick the kids up and she was going to meet me back at the house later. And when I got in the car, I called her and I said, "Mom, when I was praying, God reminded me how Dina, my cousin, got the Holy Ghost at Mama and Papa's house," because we used to have home prayer meetings. And Mom said, "Wait, are you saying that we need to anoint him with oil at home?" And I said, "Yes, that's what God showed me." She said, "That's what he showed me too." I said, "Okay, thank God for a mom that will pray in the spirit with you, that can hear the voice of God, that will operate in the supernatural." But so me and Mom met back at home when we got the kids home. And so I took Tanner aside because I wanted to explain to him, you know, me and Mama are about to pray for you. And he said, "Mom, it's gone." And I said, "I know, baby, but we want to pray for you." You know, mm-hmm. That's what we felt to do. And so, of course, Cam kept trying to come in the room and he's like, "I want to hear. I want." "Okay, buddy. Okay. You know, we'll let you in a minute." So he was 7 or 8 at the time. And so we get the kids together. We let Cam get in on it and we anointed them with oil and we prayed. And what's funny is a miracle happened that day. And I always tell people, sometimes your miracle will look like this. Like, the look on their face was not a spiritual look. Like, they weren't like raising their hands and praising God and saying, "Oh," no, they were just sitting there, nothing. But a literal miracle happened. And we didn't know it until that evening when Brian got home. He came into the kitchen there. Well, Tanner had been diagnosed with scoliosis. And if you were to, you know, touch your back, but someone else's back, you couldn't reach your own. But between your shoulder blades, if your spine is properly aligned, you don't really feel it. You kind of have to reach in there to feel it. Well, Tanner's, you could see it protruded between his shoulder blades. He had, you know, he had scoliosis. So we had been told he's going to need to wear a back brace or whatever. And he couldn't straighten his shoulders. And we would say, "Tanner, straighten your shoulders." He said, "It hurts, you know." So we had been knowing this and that it needed attention. And we were just kind of waiting to see what we were going to do. When Brian came home that night, he went to put his arm around Tanner. And he just starts saying, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, feel his back, feel his back." And we're like, "What?" Because my mom was still there. She had spent the night. And so we reached around and touched his back. Well, that spine was no longer sticking out.
Wow.
And I said, "Oh my word." You know, in that moment, I just thought, wow, we had Brother Bustard the weekend before and he operates in the gifts of healing. And I thought, oh wow, he must have gotten healed in that service. Mm-hmm. And as God could only do, he said, "No, Mom, yesterday at school, me and my friend were feeling, comparing," because he had a friend that was about to have that surgery. And he said, it was there yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
And so God, and what I immediately thought of in the word where the man sick of the palsy, when they brought him to Jesus, you know, Jesus looked at him and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they kept saying, "Who are you to forgive sins?" Yeah. You know, well, to show them that he had the power to forgive sins, he healed that man's body.
Yeah.
You know, he said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," so that they'll know that I have all power. Yeah. Well, mine was the opposite. I wanted to see Tanner's heart change. I wanted to see what God was doing. Well, you can't see that. It takes time. For me, God gave us something that we couldn't see. And I had asked God, "Give Tanner something that no one could take away from him." So God gave him a miracle that day. Yeah. He straightened his spine so that I could believe he would do the rest. And he did. Like, Tanner began to walk with a new confidence. He began to walk in the gifts and things that God had for him. Yeah. He actually, as a young teen and through college, came on staff at POA for a season and was there doing the graphics at POA. Yeah. Like, God just began to open doors for him. And really, it put him in the path that he's on today with the job he has today. But all of that came through that dark place. And just, there'll be times when loved ones in your life are in a dark place and you literally are helpless.
Yeah.
I remember saying, "God, this is my son. What help? Like, I can't lose my son. Like, I can't have him go down." It was a dark place. But God, and even from that season, it's now carrying us and him in this season of our life, because we can look back on past things and say, the God that did a miracle then is the God that'll handle this situation right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
And that's just a few of the miracles of our life. But I could go on and on, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to God for all the miraculous workings he has done in our life.
Yeah.
Well, and he's not done. That's the beautiful thing.
That's right. There's been so many times, just like the Israelites, when they look back at the Red Sea, they may go back and look and there still be a sea, but they can remember that season they walked through on dry ground.
Yes.
And God has been in every minute of your story, and I know he's going to carry you through. Every season we encounter, he's still going to be there. He's the eternal God. He's holding our hand.
And I just want people to know, because you can hear somebody's miracle and all these wonderful stories and say, well, that must be nice. Your life is so charmed.
Yeah.
You don't see the flip side where there are moments of deep, sometimes rejection.
Yeah.
Torment, fear, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've not had those moments, you know?
Yeah.
But the wonderful God of this universe has met us where we are.
Yeah.
He's met us in times of grief. There were times, I remember a recent season of grief of just sitting, holding my Bible in my lap, staring at it and then staring at the wall for the entire time that I have allotted for my prayer time and never saying a word.
Yeah.
I did that for about 5 or 6 days straight because it just was a season of grief.
Yeah.
But you know what? God was as real and as near to
me. Right beside you.
He was there. I didn't say a word, but he enveloped me. I felt him there.
Yeah.
He's never left us. He has never forsaken us. He has never not provided. He has never not made us the head and not the tail.
That's right.
And he'll do, if he did it for me, he'll do it for anyone.
Amen.
You know, he is faithful.
That's so true. Well, I thank you so, so, so much for carving out this time. I know you guys are super busy, but I do feel just that word that we keep using over and over again, orchestrated. I feel like this was all orchestrated of God. I know that I've been blessed by your testimony. I know somebody out there needs to hear this, even if it's one person or if it's 100 people that need to hear this.
Yes, I believe it.
Keep hanging on.
Keep hanging on. God is with you. And I thank you for this podcast. I've enjoyed hearing other people's story. You know, the word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
That's right.
Everybody has a testimony, and we've got to share it by whatever means. So I thank you because you're making his name great by sharing these testimonies.
Yeah, that's what I hope. That's my hope, is to lift him up. Lift him up and he'll do the rest.
Absolutely.
He'll give us the power to do it. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I thank you so much for being on today. If this podcast blessed you, please feel free to share it with your friends. You'll be alerted to listen to new podcasts if on the platform you're listening to, if you'll click follow. You guys will get the notification. You won't have to go back and search it. So I sure appreciate you. God bless.